we are looking at these Psalms, and what we're saying as the sun comes up every day, that the sun brings different circumstances into our lives. And what we're saying is, in general, these Psalms are pointing us in this direction to say we trust in God's unfailing love for us, no matter whether the circumstances are good or whether they're difficult. We trust in your unfailing love. There's a greeting in Russian language that I've come to like. Sometimes, as I understand it, people will ask you by way of greeting, "Как ваше настроение?" Did I say that right? Настроение. Как ваше настроение? It means, what is your mood? Right? Am I right? Did I get that? It's talking about your mood. It's talking about your feelings. It's saying to you, what are you feeling right now? It's kind of like saying, how are you? Except when we do it in English, we tend not to give a true answer, right? We just kind of say, fine. What I would like us to really seek to do this morning is to understand that the Psalms are connected to life. And the Psalms are connected to life as it really is. And so the Psalms help us deal with all kinds of different feelings, all kinds of different moods that we have. And it gives us language to talk to God about what we're really feeling. And so it's a question that I want to ask you this morning. How's your mood? Maybe it's great. Maybe life is just really good right now and circumstances are going well. But maybe it's just really hard right now. And the challenge for all of us together is to be honest about life, to be honest about what's going on in our lives right now, and to allow these words of the Psalms to speak to how we really are and to respond. We have noticed as we've gone through that what these Psalms do is they equip us with language for all kinds of circumstances of life. They equip us with different kinds of language for different kinds of circumstances. So sometimes we're angry, sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're full of grief. The Psalms give us all kinds of language that we can use for different circumstances. Here's where we've been so far. After an introductory session in Psalm 1 and 2, we looked at Psalm 3, which gives us a language to cry for help. When we're in desperate straits, we say, God, there's so many enemies around me. In Psalm 3, it gives us language to talk to God about that. In Psalm 4 and 5, still talking about crying out for help, but in particular, paying attention to the rhythm of life is what we noticed in Psalms 4 and 5. So Psalm 4 gives us language for an evening prayer, at the end of the day to look back and say, where was God in this day? And Psalm 5 gives us the language for waking up and says, God, in the morning I'll seek you. And today, let me look at this day. Let me walk this day with you. And Psalm 4 and 5 gives us this beautiful rhythm of life. Psalm 8, a couple of weeks ago we saw, gives us the language of praise. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. That your glory is written in the heavens, right? So it's the language of remembering and being attentive to how great, how big, how awesome, how majestic God is, and also the beautiful position that he's given us in his creation. Psalm 13, we looked at last week, gives us language for sorrow, language for loneliness. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? This is what it feels like right now. How long will you turn your face away from me? How long will you hide from me? This is what life feels like right now. How long, O God, will this happen? Look on me and answer. It gives us language to talk to God in times of loneliness and sorrow. Today we come to this psalm that's probably the most well-known of all the psalms. It's Psalm 23. Well, at least it's Psalm 23 in English. If you're in the Russian Bible, it's Psalm 22. The Russian Bible puts Psalm 9 and 10 together, so it puts the numbers off one. How many people at one point or another in their lives have memorized Psalm 23? Okay, quite a few of us. Here's the challenge. This is the challenge of looking at language that's so familiar, right? When you look at something that's so familiar, it's easy to just kind of say it and not really pick up on its meaning, actually, right? We can do that. And so I want us to be careful not to do that if possible this morning. The challenge is to really, as we've tried to do with all the Psalms, is to really hear the words, to take them into our minds, our hearts, to, like a cow chewing its cud, you remember, to turn it over and over and over until it becomes part of the cow, right? Until the words become a part of us. Let's really try to do that with these words. I'd like us to do this morning. I want us to read it together in English. And then I'd like to invite two or three other people to read it in other languages. So if you have a Bible in your own language that's different from English and you'd be prepared to read it for us, I'd like us to just hear these words in several languages, all right? So you can be thinking about that. But let's just say all of the words of this psalm together as they come up on the screen. I'll say the title. It's a psalm of David, which I remind you may have been written by David, may have been written about David, but it is a psalm of in the real heart of David, who we know was what? He was a shepherd himself, wasn't he? Let's keep that in mind as we read the words together. We say together, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, do that again. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Okay, who has another translation that they would like to read for us? Somebody have a Russian Bible, want to read that? Any other language? Spanish. Muy bien.
El Señor es mi pastor, nada me faltará. It's just the verse one. Okay. En verdes pastos me hará descansar y me guía junto a arroyos tranquilos. Me infunde nuevas fuerzas, me guía por sendas de justicia por amor de su nombre. Aun cuando atraviese el negro valle de la muerte, no tendré miedo, pues tú irás siempre junto a mí. Tu vara de pastor y tu cayado me protegen y me dan seguridad. Preparas el banquete para mí en presencia de mis enemigos. Me recibes como invitado tuyo, ungiendo con perfume mi cabeza. Mi copa rebosa de bendiciones. Tu bondad e inagotable generosidad me acompañarán toda la vida y después viviré en tu casa para siempre.
Amen. Who's got another language they want to read?
This is Telugu, Indian language. Yehova na kapari, naku lemi kalugadu, pachigala chota ayana parunda jayichunnadu, shantikaramaina jalamalu yedda nannu nadipinchuchunnadu. Na pranamunaku ayana sedidichuchunnadu, tana pramunu batti nee neethi margamlo nadipinchuchunnadu. Gaadandakaranalo nadichinanu, ee apayamunaku nenu bayapadanu, neevu naku todeyunduvu, nee duddu karrayu nee dandamu nannu aadarinchunu. Na shatrula edata neevu naku bhojanamu siddhaparchuchu సిద్ధపరచుదువు నూనెతో నా తల అంటి ఉన్నావు నా గిన్నె నిండి పొర్లుచున్నది నేను బ్రతుకు దినములన్నీ కృపాక్షేమములై నా వెంట వచ్చిన చిరకాలము యెహోవా మందిరములో నేను వాసము చేసేదాను. ఆమేన్.
Is there one more? Okay, well, now you see all the words on one screen here, and I hope that as you hear it, even in other languages, that you're absorbing the words. I would like us to make some observations. And really, the whole point of this exercise is to receive the words, to understand the words, to let the words circulate in our hearts and our minds, and to really allow them to sink in. The first observation I want to make is with regard to the structure of the psalm. This is something which I don't think I really knew this before until I began reading and preparing for this message, but one commentator calls the structure of Psalm 23 like a sandwich psalm. So if you go to the next slide, we'll see why. You can see the different color there in the middle. You've got black at the beginning and the end, and there's sort of blue color in the middle. What's the difference? What's going on here? There's a significant difference in language here. What's going on at the beginning, it's a difference in pronoun. Right? So at the beginning, we have third person pronoun, right? So he makes me lie down. And so we have this idea. Here's the psalmist. He's thinking about who God is, and he's saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And what does this God do? Well, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then he's about to say, for he is with me. But all of a sudden he changes. And it's almost like the psalmist suddenly realizes, actually, you are with me. And so there's this change in the language. And so he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil because... And who is he talking to now? He's talking to God. And so there's this realization that God is here. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My friends, God is here. So, yeah, God, as we come to this psalm and we read this psalm, we want to speak to you. We want you to be part of this conversation. And so would you lead us, O Lord, to really speak to you, to involve you in this conversation. May we know that you are here among your people. And at the very end, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's really try to absorb some of these phrases as we go through. Psalmist begins, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We'll go to the next one. Yeah. So who is my shepherd? The words of the phrase that we're focusing on is in yellow at the bottom. Who is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. And as we've been noticing, when Lord is in capital letters in the Old Testament, what's the title? What's the name? This is the covenant name of God. This is the name that was so revered by the Jewish people of the Old Testament that they wouldn't say it out loud. This is the name of God, the covenant name, Yahweh, as we say it. It's the name of God that's rooted in this verb to be. Right? This is the name of God that God said to Moses, I am who I am. What does that mean? There was never a time when I wasn't. There will never be a time when I'm not. I exist in the eternal present. I am who I am. And this is the God of Psalm 8, who is the majestic, infinite God of the universe that we tried to stretch our minds to understand the size of. You remember how many hundreds of thousands of light years are our little galaxy is. We tried to expand our minds to say, how big is God? How this work of the universe is the finger work that he flings the stars into space with his fingers. It's this God, Yahweh, who's my shepherd. This is a convergence of terms that if we don't pay attention to it, I think we can miss it. But this majestic, infinite, all-powerful God is my shepherd. Wow. What are the implications of putting those two terms together? Well, the implication is, I think if we see those two titles as they really are, then the next phrase really stands out to me. Therefore, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. If the eternal God, infinite God that's bigger than I can ever imagine, if he is my shepherd, then what could there be that's too big? What problem is too big for God? What what struggle is too big for God? Well, there isn't any trouble that's too big for God. So this idea of I lack nothing doesn't mean that I get whatever I want from Him. But it does mean that there's no issue in my life that is too big for Him to handle. There is no shortage of resources, my friends, if God is our shepherd. I'm not a shepherd. I've never been a shepherd. But try to imagine with me, what are the kinds of things that shepherds do for sheep? Call out some words. What do shepherds do for sheep? What are they supposed to do for sheep? Feed them. So lead them to food so they have good food. What else? Protect them so the wolf comes, the lion comes, right? We read stories of David, other people. So it's protection, it's feeding. What else? Guide. So it's guiding. You know, this idea of leading is really powerful in this context of shepherds. This verse here from Ezekiel, it's misspelled, but I couldn't change it anyway. Ezekiel 34. The prophet Ezekiel talks to the leaders of Israel and says, you guys are supposed to be the shepherds of the people of Israel, but all you're doing is shepherding yourselves. He was giving them very strong judgment. And in the language, God uses Ezekiel to say to His people, I, Yahweh, I will be the shepherd of my people. This is what the psalmist is celebrating here. This is the picture that the psalmist wants to say. God, Yahweh, this everlasting, eternal God, is my shepherd. I lack nothing. There's nothing He can't handle. I lack nothing. Well, let's just look at some of the phrases as they come. He makes me lie down in green pasture. What are the words that come to your mind? What do you get when you what does a sheep get when they find green pasture? Well, can we say nourishment? Comfort. He looks pretty much at peace there, doesn't he? Rest. What is God doing? He makes me lie down in green pastures. One of the commentators I was reading was reminding me that in the land of Israel today, it's not so easy to find a place like this. And yet, this is what God does. He finds those places for us. He leads me beside quiet waters. Again, this idea is refreshment. Still waters. He leads me beside still waters. The little bit of reading that I did, it seemed to show that the sheep are scared by rushing water. And I would be too, right? You fall in there, you're going to get swept down the stream, right? But He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, the slow, gently running brook. Again, it's this picture of calmness, this picture of refreshment. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then this third phrase, which really adds to the picture of these, puts these two pictures together, perhaps. He refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. I wonder if your soul needs refreshing today. I wonder if you're feeling beat up by life, or perhaps, yeah, under a lot of pressure for one reason or another. The psalmist wants to say to us this morning, God, this eternal God, is our shepherd. And what He loves to do is to refresh, restore. We come then to this next phrase, this fourth phrase, which is really in the same kind of idea of what this shepherd is doing for us. He guides me along paths. The right paths for His name's sake. Some translations say he leads me in paths of righteousness. I'm not sure that it necessarily has to do with righteousness so much as it is, this is the shepherd who leads us down good pathways. So we have these crossroads in life, right? And they come to us now and again. We have to make decisions. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I make this choice? Should I make that choice? He, the shepherd, I think the psalmist is saying to us, he leads us in right paths for his name's sake. Marva Dawn is the author that I've quoted a couple of times from this book. She has a comment about this psalm, a story, which I'd like to read related to this idea of he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. This picture here, I don't know if you can quite see it, but it's basically it's hard ground in a field somewhere, and obviously some cars or trucks have gone along there, and they formed this track in the dirt. You can see that. So this is how this is a story which Marva Dawn says, an experience from her. She says, as I rode my bike through the woods, I kept trying to stay out of the deep rut made, I suppose, by a motorcycle, or in this case, by a car or a truck. So you get the picture? She's trying to stay out of the rut. Let me use two words here. There's the word rut that we use in English, and usually if we use the word rut, we mean it in a negative sense, right? So you get stuck in a rut, and you can't get out. You're doing the same thing, and it's a negative experience, right? But for the same kind of configuration, we can use the word track. And if we use the word track in English, we usually mean a positive thing. So we say, well, you're on the right track, right? So Marva Dawn is raising the question, when is a rut a ruck, and when is it a track? Listen to her story. She said this, frustration mounted as I continued to lose my balance, get my tires stuck, and to waste a lot of energy trying to make progress. But when I finally gave up fighting that awful rut and chose instead to ride along in it, I was amazed at the ease and the pleasure that resulted. As long as I was careful to stay in the middle of what had now become a track to me, I didn't get mired in mud or snagged by dead branches. I was more free to enjoy the scenery and to pedal with more power. Whether the path is a rut or a track depended on my choice and my perspective on it. And so it is with the way of the Lord. Marva Dawn is a Hebrew specialist, and what she suggests is that this word that is used in Psalm 23 of guiding me along these paths is a word which comes from this idea of meaning to roll. So the idea of a wheel that's making a track in the soil. And it can be used, it's used metaphorically, either negatively or positively. Obviously, it's used positively in Psalm 23. And so she says this, Psalm 23 begins, of course, with this assurance that the Lord is a faithful shepherd who provides and feeds, and he gives us rest and refreshment. But listen to what she says. But he doesn't carry the sheep in the path that they should travel. He leads them. All right? So there's a sense in which God leads us. As our shepherd, he leads us. He doesn't always just pick us up and take us over the rough parts, but he leads us. It's a beautiful picture. He leads us, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Well, those four statements all work together to this idea of how the shepherd refreshes us. Then we come to this change of pronoun, this change of scene here, really, where he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and staff, they comfort me. And so the psalmist really is coming back to the reality of life. It's good to talk about how God comforts us and refreshes us and leads us to green pastures and still waters, but sometimes the experience of life is different. Sometimes the experience of life is a dark valley. And the psalmist says here, even in those times when I'm walking through this very dark valley, what won't I do? I will not do what? I will not fear. I will not be afraid. Evil is scary to us. because it's stronger than us. But the psalmist is trying to say to us, if we really know, if we really have this perspective that the eternal God of the universe is with me in this darkest valley, I will not be afraid. One of the strongest promises in all of Scripture is this idea that God is with us, no matter what is going on. Isaiah 43, if you pass through the waters, I won't necessarily take you out of the waters, but I will be with you, is what God says to us. And so the psalmist says, I will not fear because I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What does a shepherd use a rod and a staff for? Well, sometimes it's for rescuing, apparently, the hook on the end. You can rescue a sheep. But it's also for doing what sometimes? Whack. Right? Call it what? Call it discipline. You're getting off track. Whew. It hurts. But it comforts me, is what the psalmist is trying to say. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know that you care for me even when you discipline me. Hebrews tells us that the Lord disciplines those that he loves. Well, then we come to verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is really the language of abundance. I like this picture. This is kind of a feast in this part of the world, right? Pilaf with garlic. What could be finer? But it's the language of abundance. And it's interesting to notice that the language of abundance is even while the enemies are still there. So God isn't necessarily taking me right out of this dark valley that I'm in, but even in the midst of the dark valley, there's this sense of abundance because God is there. You prepare this feast. You prepare this table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. What's that mean? We don't anoint each other with oil so much these days. But that symbol in the Old Testament was really a symbol for ministry. So a person was anointed with oil to serve as a priest. David was anointed with oil to serve as king, right? So it's anointing for ministry. But it also has this idea of joy. And so Psalm 35 says this, You love righteousness, you hate wickedness, therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. So oil has this picture of joy with it. So there's this abundance, there's this sense of even in the dark, there's light. Even in the darkness, there's joy because it's underneath and it's around. It's not based on the circumstance, it's based on who God is. My cup overflows is this picture of overflowing a blessing from God. And then after all this language, the psalmist says, surely, surely, for certain, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness is this wide word, apparently in the Hebrew. It's the widest word possible to describe everything that is good. So God is good, right? As opposed to bad. God is good, right? And this word love, well, guess which word this is? It's become one of our favorite words. It's this word unfailing love. Your hesed, this covenant love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The implications of these words is that now we live in the house of God and forever we will live in the house of God, right? So it's like living now in the presence of God and living forever in the presence of God. Well, as we receive these words, I want to give us three reminders. This psalm really does give us three reminders, and one of them is that we are travelers on a journey of life. We're sojourners, we're pilgrims on this journey of life, and sometimes the circumstance of life is positive, sometimes it's negative, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's smooth sailing, but at all times, the psalmist wants to tell us, he, Yahweh, is our shepherd, no matter what. He is the one who cares for us, the one who leads us to food and provision. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who protects us. And secondly, a reminder that we are invited to this place of abundance in relationship with our shepherd. Even in the midst of darkness, we're invited to celebrate because God is bigger than any of our enemies, any of our struggles. He is the eternal God, and so we're invited to partake in this table, this feast. And we are invited to dwell, to live in the house of God, to really attentively live in the presence of God right now, all this week, and also for eternity. We have the privilege this morning to celebrate and to come really together to the table of the Lord as we celebrate communion together this morning. And it's such a beautiful thing for us to do in light of this invitation from this psalm. And what we realize as we come to the table of communion is that we realize that all of this life with God is rooted in this event, and that is the coming of Jesus into the world. If Jesus hadn't come into the world, we could not be sheep of God. We would be condemned in our sin. But because Jesus comes into the world, he comes to be our rescuer. He comes to be the one who provides forgiveness for our sin, to open up a door of opportunity of relationship with the living God who is our shepherd. And so we have the opportunity in just a moment to celebrate at the table of communion together this morning. Before we do that, I want to invite us to stand and to sing this song together that we heard just before we began to reflect on the psalm. This comes directly from Psalm 23, and let's really continue to reflect on the words as we sing them together.